Welcome to the podcast Unveiling Fashion's Thirsty Truth. I'm Amira Yehia, co-founder of Drip by Drip and your host. Dear Anna, it's a pleasure to have you on our third episode today of our podcast, Drip by Drip, Unveiling Fashion's Thirsty Truths. We're really happy that you found the time. Thank you so much for being here today. We will talk about how the legislation on a EU level can save, or if it can save, our precious water resources when it comes to the pollution and obviously also the use of the fashion and textile industry in production. And it's a pleasure to have you here because you have been one of the people who have been directly linked to the CSDDD, and the fact that we have it now, that it's confirmed and that it will be regulation all over Europe. And we're really excited to hear more about the process and how you think that the CSDDD will help in order to regulate the fashion and textile market in the EU. But first of all, let me start by introducing you. You are a member of the Parliament, of the European Parliament for the Green Party, and you are the chair of the Committee on the Internal Market and Consumer Protection for the past 4 years, if I'm correct. So you've made a lot of experiences when it comes to that. And first of all, I would like to understand, when did you start working on the subject of regulating the fashion and textile market, but also all other industries, obviously, in terms of creating the CSDDD? Like, when did this whole process start?
Thanks, first of all, for inviting me to this podcast. I'm very excited to talk to you today. I think the discussions really started even before I was a member of parliament, and this whole movement at the UN level on the guidelines on business and human rights and on the binding treaty and about a lot of several international instruments to make sure that in our value chains, businesses don't contradict human rights. Yeah, started much earlier, but I think when the last term started in 2019, there was a lot of momentum basically for new legislation, because we saw there is voluntary action by companies, but only to a minor degree or to a very low percentage. And also a lot of companies who talked to us basically said that they fear disadvantage when they go ahead, but they don't have a level playing field, but a lot of other companies are not following suit. So there was a group of parliamentarians across the party spectrum that basically said, okay, we need a regulation. We started with a resolution, so an own initiative report in the parliament, and then basically the commission came up with a legislative proposal, finally.
Interesting. So that means it hasn't been a topic that was pushed, for example, just by the left parties or the green parties, but really something that was common ground among the different parties in the EU?
I would say amongst the more progressive parties. So in amongst the MEPs who really pushed for it were MEPs from the SND, from the left, from the Greens, from the Liberals, and also some from the Conservatives. But it was clearly much more a push that came from the progressive side of the European Parliament, but also, of course, from a lot of civil society actors, from also a lot of progressive business people and associations who said, OK, we want to continue working on it and we want a regulation. So it was, I would say, a multi-stakeholder effort at the end.
Amazing. That's what we always talk about also in terms of reaching the SDGs, that without multi-stakeholder approaches, it will not be even possible to come close to reaching them again. So yeah, I think that's key for everything, I guess. So how difficult was this process to eventually arrive at the CSDDD and get it approved by all the different parts of the EU, the European political spectrum?
I think this exercise that the parliament did already do a resolution helped a lot. So we started not with the law, but basically with a parliament vision of the law. And I think this helped to really have very, very good discussions in the parliament and hearings and whatever expert meetings to really see and discuss amongst the MEPs what are the best solutions, what do we have to do. So I think, there was a lot of course, also fights and different ideas. But at the end, I think also a certain type of cohesion within the parliament. I think more difficult it was clearly with the member states because, yeah, at the beginning, I think a lot of member states were also engaged. We had the trilogue negotiations. But as you probably are aware of, after the trilogue results, some member states suddenly also changed their views, which led to a very unpleasant situation, first of all, which put the whole negotiations in danger and the whole legislation to lose the majority in the council. But also secondly, on a broader European perspective, putting in question a process and a decision and a negotiation outcome that was already there, and then coming later and basically trying to torpedo this negotiation outcome was a very, very bad precedent, I think, in terms of EU lawmaking. So this episode, I think, was very frustrating, especially also the German government played a very bad part in it because one partner, the Liberals, basically hijacked the whole German positioning to an abstention, which then led other member states to follow suit. Luckily, at the end, with also a lot of negotiation power by the Belgian presidency and with further weakening the law, which is, of course, bad, the law could basically pass also the council.
I can imagine that this was quite a rough time for everyone involved.
Absolutely.
When the Germans suddenly changed their view, which we followed on the news, of course. So maybe for everyone who's listening and watching today, who's not completely aware of the final accomplishment and the success of the CSDDD, would you mind briefly explaining what the CSDDD has succeeded in basically regulating, and when and for whom it will become binding? Because as far as we know, it will only start to be binding from 2027, if I'm informed correctly. So for whom actually, and when will it be binding?
Yeah, the core of the legislation is that companies, and I come later to the question which companies, and that companies are obliged to do a kind of due diligence check and a kind of risk assessment to basically see if they're in their supply chains, there is severe risks related to human rights violations, and then having the obligation to mitigate these risks. The companies also then have to report about their efforts so that the public and also the basically supervising authorities can check if the companies actually fulfill their duties. And there is basically, and this is new compared to the German law that is already in place and also new to some other national laws, a certain type of civil liability related to the victims of human rights violations being able to bring this cases to national courts. And in case the companies really neglected their duties, then there could be also a kind of compensation. So this is a little bit the core of the legislation. Yeah. Of course, there's much, much more to it. And you asked about the transposition. So there is, in principle, 2-year transposition time to put it into national law because it's a directive that still has to be transposed to national law. And then 3 years for companies with more than 5,000 employees, and then 3,000 employees, and then basically at the end, like the smallest 1,000 employees version of the company. So there will be a lot of time until really more companies will be in the scope. And this was, of course, also part of the negotiation. I think the parliament and the progressive side wanted to have more companies involved, but the scope was even weakened in this weird fight in amongst the member states and the council.
Such a pity, unfortunately. But from what I've learned is that companies that are operating in high risk areas, they have not been included in the final version of the CSDDD, whereas they were supposed to be included in the very first or in the beginning of the proposals. How do you feel about that? Since you come from a background of human rights and the SDGs, you've been working with all that matters for such a long time now. Do you think that the CSDDD is still strong enough to protect human rights, especially at the end of the supply chains where, like, human rights obviously might be a bit more at risk? Or Do you feel like there needs to be some sort of amendments in the not so far future, maybe near future, to really become a protection instrument, basically, for the people in the supply chains?
Yeah, it is an excellent question. I think after the law got a little bit weakened still at the end, I think there was a lot of discussions, for example, amongst my political group, but also amongst NGOs. So is it really a good outcome? Is it a bad outcome? I would still say that the fact that we have a European legislation that will be binding all over Europe, and even also for companies who are active on the European market coming from elsewhere, I think is a major step. And also, for example, the fact that basically the whole value chain, with some exceptions that would be too complicated for now, is covered, that we have parts on aspects on civil liability in, are really, really good results. Of course, we would have wanted more. Some of the parts of the civil society would have wanted more, for example, a bigger coverage, or, for example, a stronger also obligations for companies in risk areas, as you mentioned. But I would say, given the circumstances and also given the very big lobby activities against the law, it is still good that we have it at the end, and it will change the behavior of companies. It will change the way how companies think about human rights violations. And I think this is the first major big step. Of course, we can still in the revision and in the future think about what else to add if we are seeing it's not having an effect on the ground.
Yeah, I think also it's a big success to have it in the end. So what would the process look like if, for example, some of the member states want to, let's say, improve the law and want to address those issues that have been like toned down in the negotiation process? Is it a possibility that the law can be amended in a way in the future? Or would you say that it's rather not an option to work on that?
Yes, I mean, every EU legislation, I guess, has kind of review clauses and has basically inbuilt some kind of assessment and then put possible updates. And also here in the CSDDD, we have put in a review clause, for example, on directly looking or specifically looking at the inclusion of financial services. And this was also one aspect where the legislation was weakened in the course of negotiations, especially also because some member states didn't want it in order to get the legislation through the council. The financial services got severely weakened, almost kicked out, basically. And then there is a review clause coming up already quite soon next year or in 2 years. I'm not 100% sure. And then there is a chance of including it or not. One has to take into consideration right now that we have changing majorities in the European Parliament, that the right wing got bigger in this parliament. Of course, we have to also see how majorities in the new parliament play out.
Yeah, of course. And what would you say, how will the CSDDD affect the German supply chain law that we have? Because that has been like a big sort of success also to finally implement such a law in Germany. Will the CSDDD rather tone down the German supply chain law, or will it increase the amount of companies that are included? Like, will it, what sort of effect will it have on our German legislation?
The effects will be as such that the scope of the European legislation is a bit narrower, so most likely there will be less companies covered. But this is, of course, still subject of debate, because there is a clause in the European law that says basically the national legislation cannot be watered down with the European one. But I think this is still something to probably also for lawyers to find out what it really means. But if you just compare the two laws, the scope would be narrower, but then other elements are stronger in the European legislation. For example, the civil liability, the entire value chain, and also some more, for example, environmental laws that are basically in the in the European legislation. And I think this is quite good. And I think, and this is also what, for example, the German government is trying to do now with the transposition from the European law into the national law, we can probably also get rid of some of the problems of the German law. For example, that a lot of bigger companies are really giving the obligation or the activities and so on to the smaller companies without giving them the means. And we have it very clear in the European legislation that if bigger companies pass down their responsibility, they have to support the smaller companies. And this is why also, you know, we had such a big debate in Germany that a lot of smaller companies are against it. But I think it is because partially the German law is applied in a wrong way, or the bigger companies are basically just pushing down their duties. And true. I think with a transposition, this can also probably be mitigated.
Yeah, understood. Very interesting to hear from you, because obviously we read a lot about the CDDD and the German supply chain law, but then it's different to hear it from someone who's actually working in the field. And since, you know, our topic as an NGO for Drip by Drip, the main focus is water in the fashion and textile industry, because it's been overused and there's overpollution of like the natural water resources, especially in the global south. And unfortunately, especially in countries where water is an issue, considering climate change and considering other ecological factors. And water is not like one of the most important topics in the legislation, especially in the German supply chain law. Water doesn't play such a big role. And we're also a member of the Textilbündnis in Germany, where water is also not very, very much debated, which we're trying to change now as a new member. What do you think, what could be done from organizations such as ours? What could be done in order to make water a bigger topic and to make sure that in future legislations or maybe amendments of the CSDDD or other regulations, water is becoming more important and that it's considered not only a human rights factor, which it is in fact, but also an environmental and ecological topic that needs to be addressed by the companies who have their suppliers in the global south, as they are part of this like whole ecosystem of companies misusing the natural resources that we have, which need to be protected. Is there anything you would say that can be done in order to push forward with water?
I think there is important references in the CSDDD on water. So I think the water community was also successful to put some of the references in. And this is, I think, also very, very important because, yeah, water is the source for basically life and everything. So in point 15 in the Annex 1, where we basically talk about which human rights the companies have to basically look at, there is also basically the right to drinking water in it. So this is important. And then we also have this, you know, prohibition of environmental degradation, where of course also the environment part of water is concerned and is inside. So I think there is important references in the legislation. And I think now organizations like yours that work on water can also use that, you know, and see if there is a case in a country in the global south in the value chain where a company is causing a lot of problems. You can, you know, help the local communities to, on the basis of the CSDDD, then also highlight this, make the company act, probably even bring it in front of a court, depending on how the company behaved. So I think you have a hook there, and this is very important.
Yeah, I think so too. And I hope that it will help. Because so far, what we hear a lot from companies is the fact that with water, it's a very local topic. And what they would need in order to really have impact, like positive impact on the water resources, is cooperating with other companies and suppliers of a whole basin. And that part is not, or this like issue of having to cooperate with other stakeholders and players in the field is not part of like legislations so far. And because it's all always looking at one company, but not like a whole ecosystem. So this is what we always get as feedback, that the fact that we cannot change this alone, we need others to follow suit, but then others don't want to, or they're not basically addressed by the new laws. So we're not focusing on it too much, because otherwise it would be too expensive also for just one company to really have a meaningful impact on the water resources of the specific basin where they are getting supplied by. So yeah, but I'm hoping this will improve this sooner or later.
I hope so.
And thank you. Yeah, thank you. We are almost coming to an end. Is there anything that you would like to share about the CSDDD or the work that you're also doing in the committee on the internal markets that you feel everybody who's listening today needs to know to get more like trust in this whole process maybe?
No, I just think it is very important that stakeholders, especially civil society organizations, now also really have a look at the implementation, also use the legislation, make sure that it's working, and yeah, probably also inform us as lawmakers if you have the feeling it's not working. I think this is very crucial. And next to the CSDDD, it is of course also important to still think about where are there gaps, for example, in the textile industry and the huge, huge amount of water they are using, and also the huge environmental problems that go hand in hand with textile production, to make sure that, yeah, we also make progress there on the environmental front, which is very much linked to the human rights front.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Anna, for joining us today and for making the time to enlighten us on the CSDDD. Thanks a lot. Have a wonderful day.
Pleasure, and thanks for your good work.
Thank you.
This podcast is supported by Engagement Global with funds from the Federal Ministry for Economic Cooperation and Development and the Berlin State Agency for Development Cooperation.